We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Now, Representative, you've been among the relatively few lawmakers aggressively pressing for more details about the state's misadventure with 38 studios. At this point, what do you consider the top unanswered questions?
You know, my benchmark was, or milestone was, that first payment, because once we make the first payment, we're essentially admitting we owe the money.
So, payment to the bondholders.
Exactly. That was really what I was looking to prevent from happening. So I'm disappointed that we got there, but we're there, and we have essentially admitted that we will be paying this money.
Now, with the guilty plea this week of Gordon Fox, there was nothing about 38 studios in this. Do you think 38 studios was more an act of colossal stupidity than anything having to do with breaking the law?
I would like to think that that if there is any wrongdoing that's illegal, that it is still being reviewed by law enforcement, because no one has said definitively, be it the state police or anyone in law enforcement, that they're done with that. So if there is any illegalities that occurred, I am hopeful that they will come out through that law enforcement process.
Let's go to Scott.
Are you concerned, though, if we didn't pay the bondholders and fulfill that debt, that it would hurt possibly the state's legal case to recover the money?
We had strong arguments and strong data to support our position on that. There was a lot of research done. That was definitely a concern. What the deal would be that the state ultimately gets from all the parties involved, we really don't know. It was a moving figure. We passed legislation to enable them to start making early deals with the joint and several liability law that we rescinded momentarily for that particular position. So, you know, I absolutely was concerned about that, but I still believe that if that was not paid in the long run, it would have been a net benefit for Rhode Island.
Governor Gina Raimondo is slated to unveil her first budget next Thursday. How would you like to see her go about wiping out this $200 million deficit for the next year while at the same time setting the state up for economic growth?
Very simply, waste, fraud, and abuse.
How about being a little more specific?
Sure. There is not a single department, there is not a single quasi, there is not a single area in our budget where we could not look for or set up means to look for waste, fraud, and abuse in some of the systems and programs that we have in this state. I believe that alone, were we to do that, would position us much better to move forward in a much more prosperous and manner and with a better reputation.
Look, every politician says that, Rep, with all due respect.
That's fine.
And 2/3 of our budget is in social services, health care, and education aid. So that looks like the biggest areas to cut. What specifically in that big chunk of money could we look at?
Well, if we are under the impression that in the social services area there's no waste, fraud, and abuse, then we're naive. We've heard anecdotes. We've seen stories. We've seen news reports. There is abuse and fraud in those programs. In fact, we have a dubious reputation as being one of the more generous states with regard to our social programs, and that's a magnet for certain people who do, I believe, want to abuse that system.
The state Supreme Court has given the green light for the trial over the 2011 pension overhaul to start on April 20th. What's your sense of whether we'll see a settlement in this dispute, and if there is a settlement, whether the legislature will sign off on it?
Well, I certainly can't speak for the legislature, but I can say that if there is a settlement, I mean, we saw what happened last time. There are a lot of groups that have to agree. If in fact there is a settlement, I would love to see all parties walk away in a win-win situation as much as it can possibly be achieved.
What do you think of the last settlement?
You know, I think more work could have been done. I think more time could have been put into it. And it was just that one holdout union that stopped it from happening. So I would like to see a more thorough deal worked through on this next round.
Unlike some previous years, we saw the Republican cohort in the House this year vote for Speaker Mattiello's re-election as Speaker in January. How do you think he's doing?
So far, and I can only speak in reference to having served under Fox for 2.5 years and then serving under Mattiello for the balance of last year and now this year, and I can tell you this, straight-faced, his door has been open to me, his hand has been extended to me, and I have been completely welcomed by him, his staff, and everyone else for any issue I have, and that is a sea change from what we had before.
One budget item that has gotten some consideration, even from the speaker, is HealthSource Rhode Island.
Yes.
What should we do with that? 30,000 people almost are getting their health care through this source, and nationally, we see that it's one of the top-ranked state-run websites in the country. Should we cut this or not?
Well, there's two things we could do. We could cut it and go to the federal program, which a lot of people do want to do. Or we could job it out to other states that don't have their own exchange and allow them to piggyback onto our system, which, as you point out, was a very well-constructed system. And
the General Assembly had nothing to do with it. It was done by Governor Chafee.
You're absolutely right. And Elizabeth Roberts as well. She was very much involved with that. We could capitalize on that aspect of it by jobbing it out.
School choice is one of your big issues. Tell us why you think it's an important thing.
Well, I believe in education is the key to everything. It's the key to prosperity. It's the key to our economy. It's the key to the future of our children and the future of our country. And so school choice to me is giving parents the ability to make the decision to choose the educational environment that best suits the needs of their child, which varies wildly from child to child.
What happens with the kids who don't have parents to advocate for them? What happens to the worst schools? It seems like, sure, we all want better schools, but are there not kids who would be left behind by that approach?
In the proposal that I have signed on to, it would not occur that way. It would be a very equitable distribution of what we call scholarships or ESAs, educational savings accounts, where there would be a scale, an income-based scale that would determine what amounts people were awarded and then what other institutions that they would go to.
How do you answer the charge that some of the charter schools in the state are bleeding money from the traditional school system and costing taxpayers even more?
Yeah, we didn't include charter schools in this legislation specifically for that reason, Scott. We felt that we should stick to a more traditional approach of public schools and parochial schools.
We're almost out of time here, Representative, but I want to ask you, although Republicans slightly increased their numbers in the General Assembly last year, Republicans really took a beating in statewide races. What do you think Republicans need to do differently in Rhode Island to be more successful at the ballot box?
Well, I think we have to get our message out better. We have a good message, and I believe that we just don't get it out as well as we could. We've done better, certainly, in the last few years of doing that. We did see that as a reflection in the General Assembly races by doubling our numbers, but we do need to do a better job overall of letting people know what are Rhode Island Republicans about, because for the most part, they try to, or they just automatically paint us with the national brush of what a Republican is, and that is not at all what a Rhode Island Republican is.
And what is a Rhode Island Republican from where you sit?
Rhode Island Republicans and Rhode Island Democrats, if you look at us ideologically, there's not a lot of differentiation when you go to the center. On the fringes, you can find real differences. But for the most part, our parties are products of our districts, because historically that district has been Republican or Democrat. We work very well together, the Democrats and Republicans. We don't hate each other. We don't scream. You know, we may get into some heated floor debates, but we can still go out and have coffee afterwards and respectfully engage in dialogue.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Representative Michael Chippendale, Republican of Foster.
Thank you very much.